This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, August 30th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. For many of us, another Monday morning means another day of heading into the office, or these days, calling into a meeting. But if tech companies have their way, one day, Monday morning might mean putting on your virtual reality headset and entering the metaverse. On today's show, our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher will join us to explain the latest big tech craze and the hurdles it'll face before it becomes the next big thing. That's after these headlines. Newly unsealed court documents shed light on Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes' defense in her upcoming criminal fraud trial, which is set to begin this week with jury selection. The records show that Holmes could argue that she was in a decade-long abusive relationship with former Theranos president Sonny Balwani that left her under his control during the period in which the government alleges they committed a massive fraud related to Theranos' blood testing technology. In the filings, Holmes accused Balwani of controlling what she ate, when she slept, and how she dressed, and of throwing sharp objects at her and monitoring her text messages and emails. Balwani, quote, unequivocally denies that he engaged in any abuse at any time, according to one of the filings. Holmes isn't bound to pursue that defense and could change her strategy at any point during the trial. Attorneys for Holmes didn't respond to requests for comment on the documents. Apple said last week that it would let software developers tell customers how they can pay for services outside of Apple's ecosystem. The shift will make it easier for apps to steer clear of the up to 30% commission that Apple charges on purchases made through its App Store. The change is part of a proposed settlement of a 2019 class action lawsuit in which app makers accused Apple of breaching antitrust laws in how it runs the App Store. The agreement still has to be approved by a judge. And China plans to propose new rules that would ban companies with large amounts of sensitive consumer data from going public in the U.S. People familiar with the matter said officials from China's stock regulator have told companies and investors that the rules target firms that are seeking IPOs through units incorporated outside of China. Major tech companies like Alibaba and Tencent have used this kind of structure for their offshore listings. The move comes amid a broader crackdown on tech companies in China, as the government there works to rein them in. Chinese regulators didn't respond to requests for comment. All right, coming up after the break, tech companies are racing to build the metaverse. But what is the metaverse? And what could it mean for you? That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
There's a new buzzword in Silicon Valley, the metaverse. On Facebook's latest earnings call, CEO Mark Zuckerberg mentioned the word no less than 16 times.
What is the metaverse? The metaverse. In many ways, the metaverse is the ultimate expression of social technology. You know, the defining quality of the metaverse is presence. Within the metaverse, you're going to be able to hang out, play games with friends, work, create, and more.
And Zuckerberg isn't the only one talking about the metaverse. Execs at companies ranging from Microsoft to Match Group have been spending time and money either building out or getting involved in the metaverse. But what is it? And what could it mean for you and me? Here to talk more about it is our Heard on the Street columnist, Dan Gallagher. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, Dan, help us out here. At the simplest level, what is the metaverse?
it almost depends on who you ask. But I think the most common definitions run that the metaverse is like this virtual world that, you know, has things that are similar to what we have in a real world, like a functioning economy, you know, places where you can have a sense of physical presence, even if it's not like what we think of as physical. Early versions of this we see in things like, you know, big video games like Fortnite that are kind of like their own worlds, or could be defined as that. But what I think when you hear it from these tech companies, they're really talking about something that's a lot more immersive and usually has to be kind of accessed with technology like virtual reality and augmented reality and that kind of equipment.
And to be clear here, you know, we've heard about this concept from a huge range of companies. We mentioned Facebook and Microsoft, but there's also the video game maker Roblox, the chip maker NVIDIA, even Match Group. Is this all the same metaverse?
No, I think they all kind of look at it a different way. And they look at it through the vein of like what is in their business interest, like where is their business going? A company like Microsoft, most of Microsoft's money is made in kind of the under the hoods tech software that we use all the time for work and things. So they're trying to build something that's kind of more, you know, essentially business and corporate. You know, you might put on AR glasses to, you know, fix something 1,000 miles away, like that sort of a thing. For Facebook, it's really, you know, when they did this demo of their kind of shared workspaces, you got a sense of what they're thinking of. And Facebook as a social network is a place where they want us to spend a lot of time in already. So going to this next level type of social network where you're putting on equipment and kind of existing in a place with people that you work with or friends with, that's their vision of it.
Right, a more social experience. So Dan, is there a reason we seem to be drowning in this word metaverse lately? I mean, I feel like you can't get on the internet or listen to a tech podcast without hearing it. Was there kind of a catalyst here?
Well, I've covered tech long enough to where you see when buzzwords just get like, you know, something kind of raises the level of consciousness on something, then it's all everybody talks about for a while. We're seeing that, I think, with this term. And I think, you know, when we saw when Facebook did their earnings call a month ago, like you said, you know, Mark Zuckerberg talked about it, mentioned it several times. He's really enthusiastic. That kind of like elevated it, you know, but companies were talking about this before that too. So I think Facebook like maybe kind of helped popularize the idea as opposed to inventing it.
Sure. Okay, so why is this so popular, though? What is the opportunity that these tech companies see in this, you know, idea?
Well, I think they see this is going to be the future of how we interact with technology. You know, you and I right now sit in front of a computer or we hold a phone in our hands. So, at the next level of like interacting with the technology we use would be actually kind of entering it is the reasoning. You know, as opposed to like me Zoom calling you to socialize, we both put on virtual reality goggles and talk. That's the simplest version. Like that's their vision of where we're heading to, frankly, as a society, I think.
And there's also business incentives too, right? Like these companies are also selling hardware and trying to diversify sources of income.
That's true. And if you think about Facebook, you know, Facebook's entire business is making sure you spend enough time in their network that they can show you ads. That's still predominantly their business. So they want your time. If another virtual world pops up and all of a sudden you're spending time on that virtual world and not on Facebook, that's not in their business interest. I think selling the equipment is only kind of the entry point. You think of it as like razor blades, you know, you sell the thing up front and, you know, there's some money there. But the real money, I think, is in how do they make money off your time there? Like what you're doing, seeing advertisements, buying things that are maybe digital, all those things is kind of where the real money is on this.
Got it. So at this point right now, these companies are absolutely throwing resources at figuring that out, right? What kinds of investment are we seeing them put toward this goal?
Well, we saw this with Facebook a few years ago when they actually bought Oculus, which made virtual reality goggles. That was a $2 billion buy, actually not even their biggest acquisition. But it was certainly at the time people thought, okay, this is Facebook wanting to get into video games because that's what virtual reality has been used for mostly so far. And it's kind of been slow to pick up there. What I think you're seeing, especially with a case like Microsoft, you know, they've been working on this product called HoloLens for years now. And that's still something that you spend several thousand dollars for as a company. It's a business expenditure because they're trying to push it towards the enterprise. I think what you're seeing right now is the companies that are hot on this term are trying to kind of lay some early stakes in the ground, you know, so that if the population starts to lurch more towards wanting to use this kind of technology, that they're in the right spot at the right time, as opposed to like I don't think there's a huge demand right now for it.
Fair enough. You know, all that said, and CEOs' grand visions aside, where is this technology actually now? You know, is it ready for prime time?
It depends on what you want to use it for. You know, I mean, for a few years now, they've been, you know, virtual reality and gaming has been sold Oculus, Sony. And I mean, it's really a matter of opinion on, you know, if you've tried some of these games. I've tried a bunch of them. Some are fun, you know, some are still a work in progress. The thing I think with virtual reality is that it's something that is kind of physically taxing. You know, if you put on these goggles and you play a game for a while, it's not like a traditional game where some real gamers can spend hours and hours on playing. You really get tired quickly when you're in like a virtual world like that. And I think that the technology still has improvements to make. And also, you know, to have the goggles be things that you don't have to tether with a cable to the computer or something. So it's still a work in progress in that front. But there has been a lot of advances made, I'd say, in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, I imagine the experience is like Zoom fatigue times 1,000.
Yes.
So on top of that, you know, there are already some people bringing up concerns around things like privacy, too. You know, what should listeners keep in mind on that front?
Well, I think it's something people should think about. To the Facebook example, if you're interacting in a Facebook metaverse, you're interacting in a world run by a company who's so far the sole thing they do is figure out what you're interested in and show you advertisements. That's how they make their money. So how is that going to apply in a virtual world? You know, we've already seen like kind of evolution of different technologies where we thought, oh, this is cool. We didn't really think of the dark side of it. You know, in the early days of social networking, you met friends, got in touch with old family members and such. And then all of a sudden, it's also now this place where elections can be manipulated and misinformation can spread. So I think before we kind of rush in to embrace this idea of a metaverse, I hope people think carefully and tread carefully into what they do and think about who's providing it and what the business interests are. And I hope as a population, we're a little more careful this time around.
All right. That's our Heard on the Street columnist, Dan Gallagher. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.